Good morning. How are you? It's not easy to hear stories like that, is it? It's not always easy. It's not easy to hear stories that Linda... Yeah, plenty. No problems. That Linda spoke about, that they confront us, but they're always necessary to shake us from not the fact that we don't care, because I think as people, we generally care, don't we, when we're here. But sometimes, I remember one time, it was actually during the genocide, the Rwandan genocide back in 1994, and I was driving up the hill to my house, actually. My parents, I lived up in Darlington Way. And as I was driving up the hill, the ABC radio came on and it was telling the story of what was happening in Rwanda at that time. And they were saying that 10,000 people were dying every day from hand-to-hand combat. And I was had my baby, and he was about four, in the back seat. He wasn't a baby, he was a little boy. He was in the back seat. And I'm driving up the hill, and as I could hear this on the radio, and your first acknowledgement is, this just can't be happening. That's what I kind of had in my head. This cannot be happening. And then as they went on and they were interviewing people, I was realising this is happening. And then the sense of hopelessness or helplessness in me became quite overwhelming. And maybe I did what any... maybe not what anyone would do, but you know what I did? I just turned off the radio. I just reached across and I just turned it off, because there was a side of me that just went, I can't bear it. So I think we sit in a tension between hearing and knowing, believing and hoping that there is a God who deeply cares, and then working out what we can do. And that is a tension that we sit in all the time, and may we not escape it. May we just accept it and see what we can do when we can. At other times, let's just weep for those who mourn. Yeah, because... I don't think we're supposed to escape. And actually, it's really quite interesting that this morning, has that come up? We're actually talking about the go of Christ, and I hadn't told that to Linda. I hadn't even told that to the guy singing. It's always fantastic, isn't it, when you have a deep sense of, oh, look at that. Surprise, surprise. So my name is Kelly. Welcome to West City, if you've never been here before, and I'm part of the team, and... going to be chatting to you this morning. We've actually done this little 2-week series, and last week I spoke as well, because we're talking about two things that anchor the West City service, two things that kind of go, these are things which will always be a part of a service at West City, because it's kind of like, this is what we believe in. And the first of those was this idea of the come to the table. And we say a little invitation when we come to take communion, which we'll do towards the end of the service. And it's kind of this invitation to come. And we always say, because this is a table of the Lord, not a table of the church. And it's Christ himself who invites you to come to the table. And the idea is that when you come to the table, you're coming to be loved by him and to be accepted by him, you know, not by us. We're not the mediators of, are you getting enough right here to be worthy of this? It's actually he who invites you to the table. And then ultimately we're called actually not just to be loved by him, but accepted to be like him. That's the call, to be like him. That ultimately he can be seen in us. I spoke at a Girls Brigade conference once. And the Girls Brigade, and we put up... This is my artistic flair, and I expect a lot of appreciation for this, because this is as good as it gets. Actually, I don't think it was even me, but I'm going to take a lot of credit for it. Because I looked around, I realised one of my friends who helped me is here, and she's looking at me like you did it. Well, I asked for the idea, and that made it mine. So that's the emblem of the Girls Brigade, and then we kind of mapped it out, we lit it all up with candles, and we went out and we stood around the logo of the Girls Brigade, and the Girls Brigade theme song is This Little Light of Mine. Who knows that song? Come on, raise your hands. Let's all sing it together. I'm kidding. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. And it's a gorgeous little song. I remember being a schoolgirl. But I guess the danger sometimes when we sing a song like that is we go, this little light of mine. And there's a side of me that goes, mine, my little light is actually pretty pathetic. You know, my little light is not always that beautiful. I don't know about yours, but my little, I can use the word beautiful, John, by the way, because I'm a girl. But this idea of this little light of mine, it's like, I don't really want to be this little light of mine, do you? I kind of go, the concept is that Christ came to us. And when he does and he comes to be inside of us, it's his light in me that I want to shine like a city on a hill, like a light on a hill. It should not be hidden. In fact, I love this scripture. I really do love this scripture. No, that's not the one I love. Let's go back. Which says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people. It's over you and it's over me, but it says, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. It's him. They're coming to his light, the brightness of his dawn. That's what we want to shine, isn't it? And this most fantastic idea is that he shines in broken vessels like you and like me. Like you and like me. And he says, that's the amazing thing is, they get to see him when you and I actually live like he's real. I love what that song we sang. I love that song. Can I just, can't quite remember the words this morning, but tell me again what it was. You know what I'm saying. No, you're not getting it. Stay with me. The lines that we say when we sang this morning, which was the one about, not my words. Okay. Oh, let my deeds outrun my words. Lift my wife outweigh my song. Who wants to be like that? Well, you know what I said. Who wants to be like that? Come on. Do you not sing that song and some, as you're saying those words, you feel like you're making a benediction? God, let my deeds outrun my words. May I not be a person who just says all the right things and then my life looks so completely different. And my deeds, that they outweigh the song that comes out of me. That's a spectacular thing, I think, of him being seen. You know, Leonard Cohen is this fabulous lyricist who died in the last year, and he wrote that beautiful song, Hallelujah. But one of his other songs says this, ring the bells that still can ring, forget your perfect offering, there is a crack in everything, and that's how the light gets in. I would suggest that's also how the light gets out. Because we're cracked and we're broken and people get to see that, but they get to see him in us. Our weekly response to say to everyone, come to the table, is not an expression of, I'm worthy, I can come. It's an expression of, I'm unworthy, I'm unable, I am broken, I'm in need, and you, God, offer it all back to me. It's an act of humility. And if we ever forget that and think we're coming because I'm already enough, then the table loses its significance. So we will always have the table, and we'll always be a table of the Lord and not of man. And the second thing that we always do in our service is at the end of a service, we do the benediction. And it's the go of Christ. And it says this. We acknowledge today that we have come together as the church so we can be reminded about the go of Christ. So go out and feed the hungry. Go out and clothe the naked. Go out and fight injustice. Go out and end oppression. Go out and proclaim anew the old, old story. Go out and reach those who are running from God and God's church. go out and associate with those who don't look like us, think like us, don't act like us, and even don't like us, and do all of this in the name of the one who sent us, and his name is Jesus. Amen. May that ring in us, may it be the reminder in us that the fullness that you and I have in him, it's not to be kept for ourselves. That's not why he came. That's not why he's present in us. Of course, he loves us and he wants that sense of us to feel his acceptance and his love. But, you know, the fullness and the filling that happens in us is so that we can give it away. We can empty ourselves over and over again. That Christ is not set aside for the worthy and the few. But whoever believes in him shall have everlasting life. For his son, he sent his son into the world not to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. Some of the best known verses ever. Because deep within you and I, they tell us the whole story. What does it look like? What does it look like to love people so outrageously? Does it look huge? Does it look like going to deepest, darkest Africa? Or does it look a little bit like this story from the Bible? We recognise that story as the fantastic story of the Good Samaritan. And Samaritans were the outcast group back in that society. And there's a presumably a Jewish man on the ground, and he's beaten. And you know who walks by? That story is so potent to all of us. Because you know who walks by? The religious people of the day walk by. They walk by. And it takes a man who is considered to be an outsider who stops and says, you know what, I'll look after you. And that's why he's called the Good Samaritan. And the one who helps a neighbour. That's who God would call. That's the good man. And like, that's the call to you and me. You know, one time, and I was, I had this funny job one time. I was used to dress up as a little Dutch girl. Wasn't weird or anything. It was when I was at university, and I dressed up as a little Dutch girl, which is like this weird little skirt and little hat on my head. And I used to go to pubs and restaurants selling flowers and stuffed animals. Is that the worst job in the world? Who's seen those people? Be kind to them. Be kind. So anyway, I used to go into all these pubs and sell my little flowers. I was at university to make money. One night I was coming home. This is predates mobile phones. And I was coming home from my job and I ran out of petrol. And in those days we had what was called rosters. Do you remember that? Rosters were just an occasional occasional service station where you could get some petrol. But anyway, I was on Great Eastern Highway and I was probably about 10 minutes from the airport. That was my closest one if you drove. But you know, I'm sitting on the side of the road thinking, what am I going to do? I don't have a mobile phone. I haven't even got any money. It's about 1 o'clock in the morning. There's hardly any traffic going by. And I'm actually in a bit of a panic thinking, what am I going to do? Anyway, a couple of people slowed down and kind of said, well, good luck. I'm thinking, that's brilliant. And kept driving, even a couple of families, like, well, good luck, all the best. I'm thinking, what do you think I'm going to do, you know? Sprint my way to the airport. They kept going. Anyway, up pulls this guy in a big, hotted up ute. I'm like, please keep going, please. No. He doesn't keep going. Not only that, he gets out and, you know, he was this big, huge guy, huge, bald, tattoos everywhere. I am like, oh, no, who is going to... And he comes over and he says, I'll help you. I'm thinking, I don't think you're what I had in mind, you know, like, no. I'm kind of thinking, I said to him, look, I'm not sure. So he says, no, I'll take you to the airport and I'll get the petrol. And I'll bring you back. And I'm thinking, I can't get in a car with this random man. My parents would just never forgive me. So I'm thinking, anyway, up pulls a car, another car. So I ran over to them saying, hold on a minute, I'll keep you as a backup plan. I ran over and I said, oh, look, you know, can you help me? They said, no, we can't. I said, well, look, take down his license plate. I'm going to have to go with him, take down his license plate. If a woman is lost from this area, it's me. Come on. So they're writing down his license plate. Then I went back and said, okay, let's go. So we get in the car, and I remember it was like really cold. I wound the window right down, and he's like, what are you doing? I said, if you one wrong turn, I'm jumping. I am jumping. He's like, nothing's going to happen. I said, I'm just telling you. I don't care if I die jumping, I'm jumping. So he's like, so anyway, wouldn't you know it, he takes me to the airport service station. Buys petrol for me. He fills up the jerry can. He takes me back to my car, puts it in. Then he says, he follows me, he goes, come, we better go back to the airport and fill up. Go back. He fills up. I'm looking at him just going, who's your neighbour? Who's your neighbour? And then he says, let's go in and have a cup of tea at the airport. Because it has like, I said, I'm not dressed for that. You know, I'm in my little Dutch girl and look what you look like. Like, this is weird. And he goes, no, let's have a cup of tea. I thought, okay, let's have a cup of tea. So in we went to the airport. We had a cup of tea together. And I saw someone I knew. As has to happen, doesn't it? And they're trying to reconcile me dressed like this, him. I just thought, forget it, I'm not explaining. But, you know, the brilliant thing was, is that for me, here again comes that potency of who's your neighbour and who am I? And am I living out the go? Because so many people drove past me that night and he didn't drive past. It was just such a brilliant moment and just such a reminder that Chapter 13, that beautiful love verse says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains. Come on, we say these words. And then what do they say? That they say, but if you don't have love, you've just got nothing. And if it's not seen, then he is not seen. Then he is not seen. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. And there's so many times when Jesus tells us what it looks like. He tells us in stories like the Good Samaritan. He tells us stories like the woman at the well in his own actions. And then he says this in Matthew 25. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. And all the nations, they're going to be assembled before him, and he's going to separate people, sheep, and he's going to say, and here's the goats. And he'll put the sheep on his right and he'll put the goats on his left. And the king will say to those sheep on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry. This is what it looks like. And you gave me food, and I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. And I was a stranger, and you invited me in, and you gave me naked, and you gave me clothing. And I was sick, and you took care of me. And I was in prison, and you visited me. How basic is this? And they will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, I tell you the truth. Just as you did it for one of the least of these brothers or sisters of mine, you did it for me. Our smallest acts, our simplest acts of humanity and kindness, we do them for someone. He says, you're doing it for me. We just share our food and our drink. We give another clothing. We visit someone in hospital. We visit those in prison. We say you matter. He says, you're not doing it just for others. You're doing it for me. I think it's not always easy to live the go. But it is simple. It's not easy, but it is simple. I think some of these things are really quite ordinary, but they don't seem to be just human. They seem to be acts of the divine, you know. I just go, this is the kind of divine life of the everyday person. I was standing in a line of shoppers not that long ago, and I got to the counter, and the lady in front of me said, I was putting all my stuff on, she'd finished, and then she turns to me and she says, oh, I'm going to pay for your groceries. I'm like, what? You know, and she'd just done it before I even thought about it. And then she just looked at me and she just said, I just want to do that for you. I just thought, I don't know, does it happen to anyone else? Maybe you should try at my shops, but anyway. It's just this act of extravagance to me. I think sometimes we're always looking for someone who we think is needy, but sometimes we just do this and it just can touch people deeply because we don't know what's going on in their life. You know, at West City, we want to live this out. We don't want to play pretendies. We want to live it out communally together. As well as individually, you know, communally, we have this thing called community purse. I've put a couple of little things in back of chairs there, but community purse is, it's like we have local and global. We have local initiatives we give to, which is just people in need in this community and people who know people in this community, our neighbours. And it could be just people who need practical assistance, or it could be people who just need a bill paid. But we go, we want to do it, not talk about it. And then we have global, and global says we're going to give it overseas to needs. And right now we give to women's self-help groups in Rwanda, and we give to a Cambodia project with Tear Fund. And we're going to talk about where our community purse has been giving over the course of this next 4 weeks. We're going to talk about it every week and give everyone what's happened in the last 12 months. We don't do it to big note ourselves. We do it to celebrate. His light is being seen. It can be seen communally. And I certainly really love that. So the Community Giving Weekend this year is on the 30th of July. And we're going to be the most generous church we can be. So once again, we go, we're going to do this. We're going to live out the go of Christ communally. And I'm going to say, let's shine our light in small ways, in big ways, in poor communities, in affluent communities, for those who know Christ and those who want to know him more and those who has never heard his name. May our giving be that. But you know, one thing I always get wary of is that we have community purse and that becomes the expression of go. And it's not. It's you and me. It's how I live every single day. How he's most potently seen. Yeah, that's what my kids get to see. I want them to see it in a way that it changes them forever. I want our families to see it, but I want our friends to see it. I want the communities we work in and serve in to see it. I want to challenge us. I want to get challenged every single week. I get mediocre. I just get mediocre about it all. And I need to get the constant challenge to say, no, no, don't let that happen, Kelly. Don't just fall into your life of comfort. I want to be his light on a hill, a light that's seen and shared in our everyday worlds. We need to encourage each other and spur each other in good works, don't we? So that he gets seen in the middle of the darkness. I need to be continually reminded of how simple the challenge is. It's not easy, but it's simple. And there's a story I saw of this amazing change when a woman just decided that she would be the go for one person. And it's just a beautiful story. You've got to listen carefully because it's a woman speaking. It's from South America. But gosh, it's a beautiful story. Let's just watch it as we close.
These words were written by the old poet Raimundo. He used to live in a place he called the island. When I saw Raimundo for the first time, he gave me one of his poems. From that moment, he started to be a part of my life. Writing is his passion. He writes every day.
Higiene material. Higiene mental. Aqui não sei qual é a difícil de praticar. Assim no condicional.
Raimundo always wanted to publish a book of his poems. And as a person who lived in the street, became an impossible dream. I felt I need to do something. I told him that I will create a page for him to publish his poems and to make him recognize himself as a man and as an artist. People start to get close to him, to talk to him, to go there, to say, hey, I saw you. I want to know you. I always want to know, but I didn't have the courage to come and talk. And then something unexpected happened. I got a message from his brother.
Após 57 anos, pude te encontrar. Quando eu cheguei na ilha, eu encontrei um homem no meio de uma sacada de lixo, com cabelo, sem fazer barba, sem condições higiênicas nenhuma, sabendo que essa pessoa era seu irmão. Eu sugeri que viesse morar comigo. Meus irmãos estão todos vivos, estão todos vivem, e isso foi ele, era o que faltava para completar aquilo que, aquele vazio que estava.
There's no words.
Ele não é um convidado, ele é parte da família, nossos filhos e da esposa. Ele é a parte integrante desse.
And now, finally, we're gonna publish his book. His dreams is coming true after so long.
10 graçados do homem que se abandona. Estas 6 palavras acima indicam que, por pior que seja a situação, nunca o homem deve considerá-la perdida. Assina o condicional.
Isn't that a gorgeous story? A woman who just stopped to see a man and then just made one gesture. I thought, we've got this enormous potential. Christ is in us. Christ is in us. This is the way of Christ. This is the go of Christ. To practice everyday love, compassion, kindness, and humility. That means less of us and more of him. It's not always easy, but it is simple. It is not always common, but it is ordinary. It's not always comfortable, but it is fitting that those of us who've experienced his love and grace should be the first, the very, very first to share it with others. So Wesley City Church, let's us practice the go of Christ with renewed vigour. Not only in the big ways, in the sharing of our finance and our resources, that community purse, but in our everyday lives. With the reminder ringing in our ears, arise, shine, for our light has come. Amen. Amen. John, why don't you come now and call us to the table where we get all that we need to live it out.